Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Snap is back. Trubisky winds up throwing to the near side of right. And Tariq Cohen takes it inside the 40-yard line to the 38 of the Lions. Bumped out of bounds on the near side of the field by Tavon Wilson. And it's a pickup of 7 and a first down. A chain moving play from the 38 of the Lions. Snap, fake the handoff. Quick screen left. Great block by Miller Springs. Robinson inside the 30 down near the 29. Heck of a block right on the thigh pads, Tom. Wilson again, the stop. Pickup of 9 for the Bears. Shotgun with Montgomery to the left. Slot left. Three receivers. Snap at a handoff. Here's Montgomery through a crease at the 15. Down near the 10 where he spilled. And the Bears have another first down. They'll be all the way down near the 10-yard line of the Detroit Lions. It opened up nicely on the outside. Bunch set left. And Cohen in motion. Snap. Trubisky throws the slant right. Robinson's in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! A well-executed drive puts the Bears in front. 10 yards on the touchdown to Allen Robinson, his fifth of the year. And how about that? A first quarter touchdown for the Bears in the lead.
I think it's Matt Nagy's best first series call of the year. Like you mentioned, they had everybody off balance with the run-pass differences. They got everybody actively involved. Safe throws for Mitchell Trubisky early in the drive to Tariq Cohen. Really nice series there by the Bears offense.
Jeff Joniak with the call on WBBM, along with our next guest. Welcome back to the show, Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski, talking Bears with you on a victory Friday morning here in Chicago. Bears going to win over the Lions yesterday. Joining us now on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is former Bear and color man for WBBM, Tom Thayer. How's it going, Tom?
Good, ladies. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. We're sitting here trying to figure out what to make of Mitch Trubisky yesterday, and actually his performance over the past couple of weeks. Obviously, Tom, and all these texts coming in are asking the same question. We've undoubtedly seen progression from Mitch Trubisky, but they've been against bad teams for the most part. So we're all sort of trying to figure out what the takeaway is from yesterday.
You know, remember the phrase at the beginning of the season that Ryan Pace used a lot, incremental development? I really do think that we're seeing those. So I'm not concerned about the opponent. I'm concerned about what Mitchell Trubisky is doing week in and week out. Is he gaining any confidence? Are there becoming passes that are becoming, are kind of becoming habit forming for him? Is he getting other players actively involved in? Well, you know, when you see Anthony Miller the last 2 weeks, when you see Javon Wims yesterday, even Jesper's, you know, touchdown, you start seeing those things. Now, what do you got to do in order to, you know, go forward and getting better? It's about making sure you can get the running game better so it has more effect at the line of scrimmage and can even help Mitch be even a better player.
Tom, it's an interesting point, and good morning, by the way. It's good to have you here. 419 yards. Like, we can sit here and say, oh, this is a crappy Detroit team. But they still got 419 yards and his first 300-yard passing game of the season. So there are things to take out that are definitely positives that he should have done against this team. The passing game was good. 8.5 yards was their average gain per pass. We haven't seen that. That is good. But the running game, you know, I liked that they did stick with it to a certain extent. They picked up 88 yards on the ground, but 3.8 yards, it's better. But we're still not where this team should be to have that good balance. Tell us what is going on the offensive line that they're not getting that push up front that you need to get to have a more effective running game.
You know, there's a lot that goes into it, you know, because, you know, in the NFL, there's kind of more of a pass-first attitude amongst offensive line than there is run first to win and then throw the ball when you need to survive. So that's taken away over the history of this all-new offense. There's a different approach at the line of scrimmage. It's not as aggressive as it used to be. However, when you're talking about position changes in the inside with James Daniels and Cody Whitehair, you have an inexperienced right guard that's made the transition from defensive lineman to be developed as an offensive tackle, but to starting at guard. And then you have the inexperience of David Montgomery, because one of the things about an offense needs is they need a great relationship between the running back and the understanding how plays are being blocked in front of you. So rather than just use an innate ability to find the hole, they know where the hole is most likely going to be developed, and they commit to that portion of the play. And then if they get desperate, they, you know, then they have to, you know, be creative as a running back. So, you know, it's kind of everything from modern day offenses to a relationship that really has a lot of development to go through between David Montgomery and the running game offensive line, if they can keep them all on the field for a significant period of time.
Okay, so we should be bringing back Big Cat Williams so that he can talk about, he can teach them how to go from the defensive line to the offensive line. I get it. But at the same time, Cornelius Lucas, you know, we didn't hear his name yesterday, which is a good thing because he stepped in for Bobby Massey. But here's a guy that has kind of mired in the NFL for the past 5 years without doing much. And yet, I think it's a good sign that we saw him come in and it was a little bit more fluid. Did you see anything from Lucas?
Yeah, I like him. You know, he's a really long guy. And whether he's playing left tackle, right tackle, or coming in as the sixth offensive lineman, he's got good discipline in loud environments for the snap count. We saw that yesterday. He's able to use his athleticism and his length at the same time. That really benefits him, because with that type of length, you may not be the strongest offensive lineman on the field, but your length can really be an asset. So I do like what Harry Heath said has done with Cornelius Lucas throughout the season. But again, you know, when you talk about the overall development of the offense, if you can get more production out of the offensive line, it helps so many other elements of the offense, and the deceptiveness of draws, the deceptiveness of screens, just the benefits it can do for Mitchell Trubisky if there becomes a game where he has to run the ball a little bit more often.
You know, we're talking with Tom Thayer, who's with WBBM, obviously, and you hear him on Sundays and Thursdays and Monday nights with Jeff Joniak whenever the Bears are playing. Tom, you know, when the team was in, when they were playing Minnesota and when they were playing Washington, I guess, when they were playing Washington, they had Matt Nagy talking in Mitch's ear for a good portion of the game and sort of helping him identify, I think, what he was looking at, which I think we all thought, you know, great, if that's what he needs to sort of get to the next level when he's looking at a defense, then that's fine if they can figure out a way to make it work. Then Mitch gets hurt. He comes back, and we haven't seen that since. And I'm just kind of wondering what changed.
You know, none of us are ever privy to what the reality of any injury is. You know, are they out there trying to play as well as they can and be protective? I don't think that's really the case for Mitchell Trubisky. But, you know, I just think it's amount of time behind center for Mitchell Trubisky. And, you know, I know people don't want to hear this reasoning anymore, but he is just a super inexperienced guy in terms of things in the NFL becoming habit-forming, whether the volume of times you have to say the play in the huddle and you really know exactly what you're saying to every segment in that offensive huddle. You are so in tune with your offense, you can predict where your guys are going to be faster than the defense can get into that position. So, I just think it's the continuous development inside this offense is, you know, there's still a lot more needed for Mitch to go out there and be the guy that ultimately he's going to be.
All right, let's talk about the other quarterback on the other side. The Bears almost made David Blau look like a Pro Bowler. Tom, what did we miss watching at home? I would have thought that Chuck Pagano would have thrown the kitchen sink at this undrafted rookie just to confuse him right off the bat. And instead, I didn't see that right away. I mean, I think they made great adjustments in the second half and they shut him down. But when the Lions said that they expected the Bears to think that this young quarterback is going to go through progressions, hoping that the Bears would kind of, you know, maybe cheat more towards the line of scrimmage, And instead, that would leave, that would give that him an open shot downfield, which is exactly what happened. So I was screaming at the TV thinking, what? How did you not just throw him all these different looks, not knowing where a blitz was going to come from, to confuse him and make him uncomfortable right off the bat?
Oh, you know, Peggy, I think other than the one example he showed in college against Missouri where he threw for, you know, over 500 yards, you didn't have any NFL sample size of how he would react, what he would do. So it's not necessarily you pay a passive approach to him. Is you kind of put it yourself in the protective mode early, which unfortunately kind of blew up in that first series when Galladay got behind him. However, when you look at analytically, look at a quarterback that hasn't played yet, what has he done with the numbers up until this point? He's a thrower and not a runner. So it's not like that if you go out there and you blitz him and they pick up the blitz efficiently, you're going to get beat for touchdowns. So let's rush him with guys like Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack and the rest of the guys, see if we can speed up the process in his head where he's throwing the ball early, giving us opportunities for interceptions. But the more he played, the better he got. And, you know, the better he got, I think, later in the stages, that's when Chuck Pagano said we better attack him a little more. But, you know, I respect the kid, and I respect Daryl Bevel for whatever amount of time that he knew this kid was going to come in and start, that now 2 out of 3 weeks he had alternate quarterbacks ready to go in and kind of run two different kind of systems. Because Driscoll, he ran more of an RPO opportunity. In this kid, he wasn't going to run the ball. He wasn't going to move it beyond the line of scrimmage with his feet, that he was going to throw it, you know, he was going to throw it every time he could possibly throw it.
So, Tom, the next four games, the Bears have got the Cowboys, Packers, Chiefs, and Vikings. Obviously, the toughest stretch, I think, of their schedule this entire year. People are starting to talk about them running the table, which seems like it's going to be really difficult, but it could happen. If you're inside the Bears locker room, is this a team that is continuing to think that they, although they need some help, still have a shot at getting into the postseason?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, the one positive message that Matt Nagy has always led is, you know, never, even though if you're having some tough times, never believe that's going to be the end result. So I think they have a really good, hardworking attitude inside the locker room, that no one in there has lost faith that, hey, we can't run the table, or what we are going out there for is meaningless. And if they did feel that way, you would have seen that in the performance yesterday, and that wasn't the case. So, you know, when you play in this type of climate, sometimes you look at the schedule before the season starts and you go, okay, what's the bet weather going to be like when this opponent comes in? And so if the Cowboys come in here and it's really crappy weather next Thursday night, which it might be, you know, that you got to use that as your advantage. That's got to be the reason why your outside preparation and everything that you put into it, you know, is going to benefit you in these types of conditions this late in the season in your home stadium, on a natural surface that you don't know how the Cowboys will react to it.
Tom, we appreciate you taking the time. I have one last quick question for you, and it's about Khalil Mack. We did see him a lot more quarterback pressures. We saw him getting a lot more active. A question I've had with, when we see these teams that are getting the ball out quick and you end up getting more pressure up the gut from like your nose tackles, why can they not scheme Khalil Mack to come more up the gut where there's a better chance of getting pressures? Is it just because he's more effective coming off the edge, or are we missing it?
Well, I think one thing, it depends how you're rushing. If you're coming from a stand-up position as a linebacker against an offensive lineman, I always like that because you're always going to win the game of leverage. This guy's not going to get underneath you and push you back, and you always kind of feel as an edge. You know, on the edge type of rushes, it can do so much to limit the play if they don't throw it, if they run a draw. Because he has such quick penetration against whomever's blocking him, a tight end tackle combination or just a tackle, and he makes the play more one-dimensional, and then you try to get all these other guys to assist him. You would like to think that all the attention that's being paid to Khalil Mack, that Leonard Floyd would have doubled his sack production going into this season just because of that. And, you know, even Khalil Mack, when you see the first play of the game yesterday, he's lined up on the tight end. He slants inside with such extreme quickness. He takes out the tight end, the tackle, and he collides with the pulling guard that's supposed to block Roquan Smith. And Roquan slides easily to the outside and makes a perfect form-fitting tackle. It's those types of abusive plays that Khalil Mack is willing to do that are benefiting these other guys. So I think just looking at sack production for three-step drops these days is, you got to kind of look at everything he does.
Right, because it's not going to be there.
Thanks for your time, Tom. It was great talking to you. Looking forward to the Cowboys game.
You too. Thanks for having me, ladies.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Tom Thayer Live, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. We got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get back to more of your calls and texts. Patrick Finley's going to join us at 11, but we want to hear from you guys. And one of the things Peggy and I were talking about before the show is, do you guys have, I guess, mixed feelings about Chuck Pagano or questions about Chuck Pagano? Because we all heard from all the players and, you know, everyone in the organization, there's not going to be a drop-off between Vic Fangio and Chuck Pagano. But as to that question with Khalil Mack, we sort of have questions. You know, I get that he's being double-teamed, but then you're supposed to be creative. And, I mean, great linebackers get double-teamed. That's just what happens. And great defensive coordinators figure out a way to get around that.
And I don't like the idea that they were sitting back. They wanted to kind of see what Blau was going to do. I think when you are the better unit, then you make him adjust to
go
you.
Go out and punch him in the face.
Yeah, that's just how I
I wanted to see that against Green Bay too, and we didn't see that against Green Bay either.
Well,
you know,
but like you have a totally different quarterback who's smart enough who's going to see that. You know, I just think with a young guy, you don't have a book on him. Just go at him.
I completely agree. So I guess the question is, are we seeing some of the difference now between Vic Fangio and Chuck Pagano? 312-644-6767. You can also text us at 670-11. Julie DeCaro, Peggy Kaczynski on the Score.
Blau under center. Takes, turns, giving, bouncing right. McKissick, stiff arm on Fuller, and he got him down. He lost his footing, and down he goes. It's a loss on the play of a yard. Just enough to trip him up. Thought it was a touchdown.
Jeff Joniak on the call yesterday as the Bears get a 24-20 win over Detroit. That was Kyle Fuller on that play. Welcome back to the show. We are talking Bears here on a Victory Friday. Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski, we're going to be with you until noon today. This segment is brought to you by Half Price Books. All right, Peggy, we've talked a lot about the offense. We haven't talked at all about the defense, which I think did a nice job of adjusting. However, the first few minutes of the show were absolutely, of the game were absolutely terrifying to me when their David Blau got two touchdowns within something like 11 minutes right off the bat. I was like, oh no, they're going to get destroyed by a rookie quarterback.
I know. And Prince Amukamara even said, I thought he was going to come back, which is exactly what the Lions were hoping, that the Bears were going to think that he would check down and then just go over the top to a tight end. And so it left it open. But, you know, okay, so they gave it up. Okay, it made for great viewing and great ratings for the first half. People weren't tuning it out thinking it was going to be a horrible game. But I did like the way that they adjusted in the second half. And that's when Chuck Pagano said, all right, it's time for us to really tighten it up and bring it at them. I thought the defense played very well. I mean, they went from, I think Blau had the most yards in the first quarter by a first-time quarterback in his first start in like 28 years in the history of the NFL. And then they held him in the second half to what, like 111 yards, something like that. So they played great. They played great. And we just heard that highlight. Kyle Fuller, that was a game-saving tackle, that
absolutely
ankle tackle, the shoestring tackle. Roquan Smith played like a beast. He played great.
Yeah, the second half was much more of what I was expecting from the Bears this year, both from Mitch and from the defense. So, I mean, that felt good, but I still keep coming back to the fact that it was the Lions. So, I mean, if you can do it against the Cowboys, I'm going to feel a lot better. By the way, how enjoyable is it to watch Jerry Jones with his head in his hands in his box? It is just, mwah, chef's kiss of watching the NFL. I enjoy it immensely.
Yeah, and yet he said, what did they say this morning, that he said there will not be a quarterback or a coaching change?
I thought thought that might be a coaching change after the game last night.
Yeah, so we were talking about Blau, and this is what the Bears defense did the second half. They held him to a 101 of his 280 yards with a field goal on those five possessions. I mean, they really did clamp down. They played great outside of Roquan Smith's stupid late hit that was just ridiculous. Leonard Floyd also had a late hit on a third down incompletion. Yeah. You know, that was stupid. There's still some mental mistakes that they're making. But you still want to see from Leonard Floyd and the guys that they should be picking up the sloppy seconds that Khalil Mack is giving them. And they're still not. And that is frustrating.
Yeah, we've seen Roquan Smith sort of come on little by little this season until, you know, sort of build up. He's been playing better since the first couple weeks of the season and really, you know, lights out yesterday. But we still haven't seen that from Leonard Floyd, which I think is really frustrating. And to a lesser extent, Eddie Jackson. Just sort of not getting in there and mixing it up like he did last year.
Yeah, although he, you know, once again, he likes playing on Thanksgiving, came up with another pick at the end of the game. Smart play, you know, took it down instead of trying to score on it. So, listen, incremental, like Tom Thayer was saying, when it comes to Mitch Trubisky, you're looking for incremental improvements. The defense incrementally is getting back to that swagger, and they need to get back to that swagger, get back to that confidence. And if it takes, you know, the little sisters of the poor, then that's who it's going to take, the Detroit Lions.
Absolutely. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to weigh in on the Bears game yesterday. You can also shoot us a text at 670-11. Let's go on out to the phone lines. We've got Chris in Naperville. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, so you mentioned, you know, before commercial break that, you know, the difference between whether Chuck's a better fit than Vic. My personal opinion, you know, like I go to the Denver game this season when Chuck sent Buster Screen after Joe Flacco on that blitz three times in a row. That kind of aggressiveness we never saw with Vic Fangio, but with Vic Fangio, he had the benefit of the offense last season scoring more points, a lot more points than they are this season. Personally, I think Chuck's a better fit for his aggressive approach. And like I said, I think Vic, you know, he benefited from his team scoring, you know, 20 and 27 and 28 points last season. You know, they were, I believe, top 10 scoring. So when you have top 10 scoring, top 10 defense, you know, the offense picks up their weight. Then I think we can also weigh in on Chuck Pagano. And I also believe Akeem Hicks being out and not demanding that attention with Khalil demanding his attention is also kind of hindering somewhat of what he wants to do on defense. So I'll hang up and hear your thoughts.
All right. Thanks for the call, Chris. There's no question that Chuck Pagano has to be much more conservative than Vic Fangio was because of the lack of scoring by the offense. And he is much more aggressive on the blitz. I just would rather, I mean, when it comes to a creative scheme that's going to figure out another way to use Khalil Mack, I just think that Vic Fangio is just a sort of a rare generational mind when it comes to defense.
Yeah, and maybe what you have to do at this point is a lot like Tom Thayer was saying, appreciate what Khalil Mack is opening up for these other guys. And that's why we're seeing Roquan Smith turning it on like he is. That's why, you know, you would like to see, well, we're seeing it with Nick Kwiatkowski. You know, the other linebackers are really benefiting. It's those guys up front that you want to see. They should be benefiting as well. And we're not seeing it as much as we used to see it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's take one more call before we go to break. This is Aaron in Lansing. Hey, Aaron.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'll touch on the defense real quick. What you're missing in Khalil Mack is that he doesn't have his partner on the line to give pressure right up the middle to also draw double teams. He was drawing double teams as well. So, you know, he doesn't have his partner. They haven't been able to replace that nose play since I'm horrible with names, but since he went out. So his play, they can put three or four guys on him at a time. So, yeah, he's opening up stuff, but, you know, the other defensive players hasn't made a next step yet that we thought that they would make, like Floyd and the rest of the guys. But how about this? I'm no Matt Nagy fan. I don't like him at all. So how about two games in a row where he actually didn't pull a Nagy, meaning he didn't call a stupid play at the wrong time. He didn't call an option on a third and one. He didn't, because let's just be honest, that's what he got. That's what the quarterback got benched for, because he didn't run his option play right. You know what I'm saying? So two games in a row for the coach putting his quarterback in a better position to perform. And that's all. That's where the improvement has came from. Mitch is an okay quarterback. I think he can be just a good quarterback, nothing special. But you have to put him in the right predicament to be just good. And with that defense, that would be good enough. So maybe Matt Nagy is actually learning something. And you know what I'm saying? You guys need to look at his sorry play calling, even from last year when y'all let him off the hook because he had a winning record. So other than that, that's all I have to say. And happy holidays to y'all.
Thanks
have
for the
nice
call.
Day.
Thanks for the call, Aaron. Well, I definitely haven't let him off the hook for the play calling this year. I've been screaming about it since week one.
Well, you know, listen, when you're winning, it's a lot easier to call Santa's sleigh and to have fun with the offense.
Right.
You know, we would criticize it if they did it this year because they're not winning. And yeah, there's no doubt that with Akeem Hicks gone, you know, Akeem Hicks was drawing double teams inside. There is
Eddie
no
Goldman's
doubt.
Eddie Goldman's been hurt off and on all season, so yeah.
And typically, Eddie Goldman is a very quiet strength. So, yeah, so, you know, we're missing out. We're not seeing him at full strength. Akeem Hicks being out is not, you know, they're not drawing the double teams inside that opens it up for anyone on the outside. Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. We know that. But I think that what we are seeing from the defense, we're starting to see some of the other guys develop like the linebackers, which is expected.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to the rest of your calls and texts. So Kevin, John, Mike, if you guys would just hold on, we'll get to your calls and texts as well. Also, Patrick Finley is going to join us from the Sun-Times at 11 o'clock. So if you got any questions for Patrick, you can shoot those to the text line at 670-11. Quick break, and we'll be right back with more from you guys right here on The Score.
After that sack, he went into the medical tent, was in there probably for about 10 seconds or so, and Trubisky just charged right out of there. Apparently, he passed whatever tests they gave him, and it appears that he's going to be okay.
Some cool stuff going on in the tent. You come off, the doctor sees you. You took a hit on the field. My head hit the ground. I'm perfectly fine. Go in the tent, answer some questions. We're in Detroit. It's Thanksgiving. I got to go out and lead another drive, so we answered all the right questions, and it's all good.
Heard that and sort of sat straight up and was like, that's not good. That was Mitch Trubisky and Mark Grody on WBBM talking about Mitch's brief foray into the medical tent when he had a concussion spotter pulled him off the field. Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski with you here on 670 The Score. Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. Okay, Peggy, so my child is a wrestler, and he had his second possible concussion on Wednesday, which is the sport he's supposed to be in instead of football so that he doesn't get concussions.
Yay.
But he, you know, he went through the concussion protocol, and it was 20 minutes of them asking him questions and identifying his, you know, having him look at it, you know, looking at his eyes and trying to see if there's a nystagmus, and, you know, and then asking him questions again that they already asked him to see if he gives us. And it was this whole huge process. And Mitch was in there for 30 seconds. Where are you, Detroit? It's Thanksgiving. And then he goes running back out. Like, I sort of continue to be amazed by the NFL's inability to figure this thing out.
Well, actually, so I've done a lot of stories on concussions and CTE, and there is, I think at the lower level of sports, they do not have access to the NFL doctors, that it's their job to identify potential concussions. And then a backup doctor, which is the team doctor, that will consult with the NFL doctor that is the concussion doctor, right? And so they have a set of questions, which are called the Maddox questions. And the Maddox questions are named after a researcher, but they're kind of like almost 30 years old. So, you know, Brian Urlacher famously, you know, everyone knows what the Maddox questions are. And so if you know them going in, you remind yourself what they are so that at the time you just repeat them.
Yep.
So what the reason it's quicker in the NFL is because they do have a multiple layer of, you know, we already know what we're doing. We know what we're looking for. The Maddox questions are, where are we? What quarter is it right now? Who scored the last in practice or in the game? Who did we play last game? And did we win the last game? If there's any questions, you can go back to what you're talking about. And that is the longer list. I'm going to say a list of words in this order. Can you say it back to me?
Right.
Head, elbow, knee, nose. nose, eye, lips. Now repeat it back to me. And can they say head, elbow, knee, nose, eyes, lips? So that's the second rate. So I think it's because they already know what they're looking for, whereas at the lower level, they're still going through the whole thing. They don't have the benefit of having multiple doctors to be able to go through the list.
Yeah, so. It's sort of the same thing when Addison Russell got hit in the face with a fastball and the Cubs, they immediately sent him back in. I was like, he doesn't look like he knows where he is. And so sometimes I just worry that it's a little too quick. You know, because my kid got not only all those, like, where are you? Where do you go to school? What year are you? Like, those kinds of questions. He also got, you know, here's a series of numbers. Can you now say them to me backwards? Like, all that kind of stuff. And you know, he answered all his questions fine. The reason they pulled him was because when he was doing the thing where he looks at his thumb and moves it up and down, they didn't like what his eyes were doing.
What his eyes were doing.
Yeah. And it just seems, I don't know, it just seems so quick to me in the NFL.
Well, you know, I will give them the benefit because there are multiple doctors now and they know that there's so much more at risk that, you know, Mitch passed the first set so quickly that they were like, yeah, there's no signs.
Yeah, okay. And that's possible. Yeah, absolutely. 312-644-6767. If you want to call in and talk about the Bears game yesterday with us, Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times is going to join us in just a few minutes. Before we get there, though, we got a bunch of callers on the line. So let's get to these guys. We'll start with John in Rolling Meadows. Hi, John.
Happy Thanksgiving, ladies.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John.
You know, I'm sitting there watching the first quarter, the first series for Detroit, and I'm looking at my uncle, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, my God. The whole right side deep for the Bears is empty. And the quarterback did a good job of deking Jackson out of position by making him think that he was going to go right the whole way. And he came back, and he hit that. I believe it was a running back for a 75-yard touchdown.
No, it was a receiver, Gallaudet.
I looked at my uncle and I said, how can the coaching staff not count to 10 and call a timeout and get that guy in there that's supposed to be out there because they only had 10 guys on the field? I said, that's inexcusable.
All right, thanks for the call, John. I mean, one of the things that we continue to see from the Bears, even in week 12, is, you know, too many guys on the field, not enough guys on the field. And I think a lot of it has to do, and maybe not on the defensive side of the ball, but at least on the offensive side of the ball, we see a lot of different personnel packages with a lot of different personnel. And I mean, if we want to talk about mental mistakes, I feel like in week 12, you shouldn't still be making these mistakes. But I mean, here we are.
There's a lot of process mistakes that is driving me crazy. Yeah. When Matt Nagy says, well, we have a process. We have a process that goes here. There's a lot of processes that are breaking down,
yep.
Whether it's getting the calls in, getting the personnel on the field, knowing, you know, where you're supposed to kick from. Oh, and speaking of, inexplicably passing up the field goal indoors,
yes,
to go for it on fourth and six because you're rewarding the offense.
Look, I don't care what Matt Nagy says. He clearly does not trust Eddie Pinheiro. This is the one time you should have trusted Eddie Pinheiro.
Exactly.
Indoor, climate controlled, no wind to worry about, and you still don't trust Eddie Pinheiro.
A 50-yard kick, and instead you're going for it on fourth and six. And he's like, well, we're not going to do that just to take the points. I was rewarding them.
You need the points.
Yes, you need the points. Exactly. I thought, oh, wow, that just sent. Now you're playing with the psyche of your kicker by not giving him the opportunity indoors.
And all the careful bubble wrapping of Mitch's psyche they've done, they're now going to have to do with Eddie Pinheiro because his own coach is undermining his confidence.
Yeah, I still think there's lots of questions on special teams. You know, there's still a lot of questions that I think that they're going to take a good long look at in the offseason. I'm not just talking about the kicker. I'm not talking about Pinheiro. But I think that, you know, when you look at, you know, the potential changes, you know, you can't change all the players. So everybody that wants them to get rid of Mitch and get rid of this guy is a bum. And, you know, the wide receivers aren't. Okay, here's the thing. You can't get rid of everybody. But usually what happens is it starts with the coaching. You're not going to get rid of Matt Nagy. So, like, get rid of that idea. It always starts with the assistant coaches. And I think we're going to see that's where you're going to see some changes.
Let's go out to Mike in Willowbrook. Hi, Mike.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. What's up?
Hey, I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't want to play downer here, like Debbie Downer, but I got home last night. I took a nap and I'm watching the Saints, like the end of the Saints game. And, you know, they're doing the little turkey thing and Drew Brees. And anyway, but I'm watching the news, Channel 5 News. And again, if I'm wrong, I won't be the first time, but they show the Bears in the locker room, like, jumping around like they just won the division. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. I mean, okay, you're 6-6. You come up a 12-4 year. You have four more tough games left, and you're jumping around. I mean, if they won the division, like, hey, go ahead, celebrate, whatever. But I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but really, I'm thinking, really, you're 6-6? I don't know.
Thanks for the comment.
I don't know if either one of you women saw it or heard about it, but I just was like, really?
It's front page. It's front page on ChicagoBears.com.
It right.
Is, oh, okay.
Take a look at Club Dub and, you know, look inside Club Dub. Listen, they're celebrating. It's okay. Like, I don't have a problem with it. I find it, you know, it can be a little shallow, but they won. They won. And they won. They beat a bad Lions team, but it's Thanksgiving. they're you know, going to try to get home in time to have a Thanksgiving meal with their family. You know, let them feel good. Yeah, you know, yeah, would we rather that they were more patriot-like and said, hey, this is just one step to where we want to be at the end of the year? Yes, of course we would. Yeah, whatever. They, you know, they're dancing around, whatever.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't – Club Dub is like whatever. It's one of those Joe Madden things they tried
exactly.
to bring to the Bears. And who – I mean, who cares? But what buzz bugged me about this team is when you're down and you get like, you know, a freaking barely sack of the quarterback and then you're like flexing and stuff. It's like, come on. I'd like to say, you know, act like you've been there before, but to be fair, this team this year has not been there that often.
Right. So, you know, let them celebrate, but let's hope that, you know, the responses in the locker room, and we can talk to Patrick Finley about this, let's hope that the responses in the locker room wasn't, I told you so, yeah. And, you know, for all the haters out there, we showed them today, and the delicate psyches of some of the players that they've shown recently this year, I think is a direct correlation to some of the breakdowns that they're having. You know, toughen up and say, hey, like Mitch said, we still have a long way to go. Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yep.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Kevin and Juliet before we go to break. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I want to thank you very much. I'm listening to your show because I had to run to work today, and you guys are absolutely refreshing, informative, and a thoroughly enjoyable show. I've had nothing but a good time listening to you this morning.
Well,
so,
thanks.
Great job, ladies.
Thank you.
My major point of frustration with the game yesterday was the inconsistency I saw with the officiating. The hit on Roquan, the flag on Roquan Smith for going out of bounds, it looked like he couldn't stop that. You know, the initial contact was made in bounds. He kind of took it out of bounds, but even if he would have completely let go, it looked like he was falling to the ground anyway. And that gets flagged at an absolutely integral point in the game, whereas earlier in the game, you saw our quarterback take one on the chin that in today's NFL, that gets called every time, even sometimes when it shouldn't be called.
Finding little ticky-tacky reasons to call things that normally you wouldn't notice with the naked eye, and then also missing really obvious penalties right in front of their faces.
Well, and the one that he's talking about was in the second quarter. It was that drive that was at the end of the first quarter that opened up the start of the second quarter, and it was the bootleg with Trubisky. I thought that was a drop by Miller. I thought for sure that was a drop. Even on the replay, I thought, oh, yeah, this is a drop. They ruled it an incomplete pass. But the hit on the chin, you know, that is the – I mean, those chin hits lead to concussions.
That's what knocks guys out, too.
Exactly. Like, so that I thought, oh, wow, late hit to the chin, too. And I thought, oh, they're going to see this on the review. And then they come back, and I thought, incomplete pass? No, that was a drop. No, that was a drop. And you missed the late hit. So I agree with that. That was bad. But hate to say it, when you have two bad teams, you get the worst officiating crews.
Yeah. And not only that, because of all the, you know, what's a catch, what's a drop, what's, you know, stuff that we've had going on, what's a recovery of a fumble? You know, I'm sure you know this as well, Peggy. You know, when you're doing something and you're trying so hard not to make a mistake that you just make tons and tons of mistakes. I know I've definitely been through that in my media career. And I feel like that's where the officials are right now. They know that everyone is just waiting for them to make a mistake. So they just make a bunch of just ridiculous mistakes.
Yeah, you know, as you get better, so will the crews that you are given, and you just kind of have to deal with it. But listen, we could say the same thing, like there's some stupid coaching mistakes too.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
You know, we get what we deserve.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times is going to join us to sort of break down the game yesterday and get some insight from him as to what was going on in the locker room after the game. Like I said, if you have questions for Pat, you can send them to the text line at 670-11. We'll try to ask as many of them as we can. Hope that you will stick around for the final hour of the show. Julie DeCaro and Peggy Gizinski with you on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.